What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three. And for some reason, we are unable to connect with our scheduled guest, Dan McGowan. We're trying to hunt him down. We're leaving voicemails and so forth and so on. So let's just open up the phone lines and let people start calling on in and talking about what they want to talk about, because I basically finished all my prepared talking points today. Okay. Now, I'm trying to get, okay, here we go. I'm going to send him an email and say that we're trying to reach you. Live radio's a lot of fun here. Okay. All right, we're going to send that one. Let's see. The number is 315-789-3524. That's the number I have. Okay. I don't know what's going on. All right. So let's close that down here. Get on back to some, news. Okay. Apparently, boy, people are just getting downright rude here. Milo Yiannopoulos has been shouted out of a New York City bar by Democrats chanting, "Nazi scum, get out." Whatever happened to civility in public discourse? I mean, we're descending into mobocracy where everybody's just shouting and screaming at each other and hurling insults. That's not the way to have a polite society here. Yeah, but apparently liberals are celebrating. Okay, we're going to take a phone call. Chris in Las Vegas, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you so much, Michael. I thought I'd let you know I'd listened earlier to the Brand X channel of Mr. AJ, and he has a fairly frequent guest on there called Zach, who's a pretty deep-level Army intel guy that puts some pretty relevant and salient information on the radio over there quite frequently. He was headed out to Dubai this morning at San Francisco International Airport and was circumvented from his accessing the ticket area and spirited off to a inquisition room by the TSA and the Department of Homeland Security, and I think perhaps the FBI was also mentioned also. And he had a pair of external drives with him, I imagine terabyte or better, and he was traveling with another guy, and they were trying to claim that they thought he may have dangerous information or scandalous, embarrassing, or some other pretextual ruse to try to circumnavigate the warrant requirement to be able to obtain information from his private instruments and equipment that he had with him. And so apparently he got hold of his attorney who intervened and was able to have the drive transferred to the attorney, and they're examining this, and he was supposed to be able to fly out later without the drives. But this individual is pretty high level on the intel, and apparently some of the stuff on there may have been things that were incriminating to Hitlery, the Comey and Mueller investigations, foreign arms trading and sex abuse and child trafficking and so on and so forth. So this was a fishing expedition trying to circumnavigate the warrant requirement based upon probable cause of something they actually knew as to what they had a fear that might be. Of course, fear is fantasy envisioned as reality, and they are just on a fishing expedition and trying to circumvent the need to get a warrant.
Yeah, well, it does sound like that's what it is. It's a fishing expedition. And you know, TSA, Department of Homeland Security, tend to operate with this attitude of trying to bluff and bully you into going along with what they want to see. And you don't have to. Of course, they do have, you know, the power to prevent you from getting on that airplane if you don't do what they tell you to do. But I'm glad this individual stood up for his rights. He contacted his lawyer. But again, when I travel, I have a specific machine I travel with because the TSA dropped and smashed a very expensive laptop of mine up in Seattle. And so when I travel, I leave my nice machines home, and I got this little tiny XP netbook, and all it does is mail and web browsing. There's nothing else on it at all. And if TSA and Department of Homeland Security want to waste their time going through it, fine and dandy. There's nothing there. And so that's one way to handle it. But I understand there's a principle at work here, and that's called the Fourth Amendment. The government is not supposed to invade your privacy unless they have good reason to know that some criminal activity has taken place. This idea of it might be, we're concerned that you may be doing this, that's not good enough. That's absolutely not good enough.
You're precisely correct, Michael. My observation is the TSA and the Department of Homeland Security are really reiterations of the Nazi SS, the Stasi, the secret police, the brown shirts, if you will, and the Gestapo from Nazi Germany, reformed here in America under the so-called Prescott Bush's 10 United States Code 2358, the original Strom Thurmond National Defense Authorization Act of 1961. And this is where part of this stuff comes from. This is ancient Nazi stuff that was brought over here to America. Of course, it's given new lipstick on the pig and given new titles and labels so the American people won't clearly know what it is. But these are lawless agencies that have gone rogue, and they're absolutely prosecuting their own political agendas of assassinating and harassing, in fact, terrorizing Americans who have a perfect right to travel with their own private possessions and are trying to break down every protection we have that we thought we had under our natural rights and those preserved in the Constitution. Thank you so much, Michael. Keep up the great work. Sunshine is the best sterilant for tyrannical governments. Thank you.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. Thank you very much for the phone call here. And we're apparently not able to connect with our guest today. I don't know what's happened. We're just getting voicemail on the phone line. I'd like to do a shout out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining the network. And of course, callers are welcome to call on in and just talk about, you know, whatever they want to, as long as it's not, you know, the kooky stuff. Hollow Earth. For some reason, somebody's been sending me all this stuff about, oh, the Earth is actually hollow, and or the Earth is flat. That's the other new one that's out there. Everybody who says that the Earth is a ball is just, you know, they're crazy. Well, Larry Klayman is out there, and he's saying that Rosenstein's biggest mistake is that he has furthered Mueller's crime to leak grand jury information and rubber-stamped the raid on Michael Cohen's office. And at this point, it's becoming very, very obvious Mueller has gone way outside his brief. First of all, the way he was appointed, as we reported earlier in the show, there's no official intelligence behind the request for an investigation. Now, normally under Department of Justice rules, a special counsel is called only when a normal Department of Justice investigation has found indications a crime occurred. And that's when a special counsel gets appointed. Rosenstein just tapped Mueller and said, you're now the special counsel. You're looking into Trump's collusion with Russia. And Mueller found nothing. And so Rosenstein said, well, look for other things. Look for anything that you can find. It's a political witch hunt. And it really is time for it to end. I think probably most people agree with that. The part that I find most alarming are the liberal Democrats' threats to start riots if Trump fires Mueller. And the liberals think gun owners are the dangerous people. They really are behaving like children. They're just kicking and screaming if they don't get what they want. All righty, so let's see. We have a caller, Dr. Kelly in Northern California. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Great to speak with you today, and there are so many wonderful programs and outlets for this wisdom and knowledge, and I appreciate you as well, and always get a kick out of hearing from Chris near Las Vegas. And I would like to put something out about the grand jury reawakening and the desperate need for it in my neighboring state and Republic of Nevada and the California Republic, and as a way to get in at least at the county level for the local government watchdog that people have available to them, and would like to see Nevada kind of mirror that so that they can serve their people in the best way.
Well, I think the grand juries, unfortunately, tend to have been hijacked by the prosecutors and are more often than not used as a rubber stamp. And grand juries are supposed to follow their own lead, but very often they do not. But
they've done some pretty good work with recommending body-worn cameras for Nevada County deputy sheriffs, and they actually do have the body cameras in some of the local cities in the west side of Nevada County, California. And so a little bit of good, you know, does come from those things. And it's really great to learn how to properly investigate things and look into them and see that, you know, the highest order of law is the Constitution for the nation and then that particular republic. And then, you know, statutory is number three. And then the lowest are the opinions of the Attorney General.
Okay. I was not aware of that.
And, you know, it's really amazing what can be done to serve. You know, now is the time, if people are interested, to apply. Now is the time to learn how to be a poll observer, poll watcher, poll worker, and get on a school board, you know, get out there and serve your people.
Well, definitely we're going to need poll watchers this November. We know that there's massive election fraud in this country, but everybody should be involved in the government at one level or another. I tend to aim a little higher, as you can tell. But, yeah, you need to be involved. I mean, if we're not watching the government, they're going to do dumb things, if not criminal things. I think a good example of that is right here in Hawaii with our light rail project, which is about as botched as botched can be.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, Dr. Kelly, I need to let you go. We finally connected with our guest, Dan McGowan. So, Dan, welcome to the show. Thank you for calling on in. We were about to put your face on a milk carton.
That's good. I've never been on a milk carton.
Well, you came very, very close this time. So you are, if I understand correctly, the executive director of Dear Yassin Remembered. This is a Palestinian rights advocacy group. I think it's headquartered in Geneva. And why don't you just start by telling us what the organization is all about?
Sure. In 1948, just about 70 years ago, on April 9th, there was a massacre of Palestinian men, women, and children at a small village called Dir Yassin, which is on the west side of Jerusalem, right near the Holocaust Memorial today. And that particular massacre was emblematic of the dispossession of Palestinian people in 1948. The destruction of over 400 of their villages and driving out of over 750,000 Palestinians from the area that was then became Israel a couple of weeks later on May 15th, 1948. And it's emblematic of it, and it's also a pivotal moment in Palestinian history. It's a massacre that every Palestinian has heard about and knows about, but It's a massacre that has largely been flushed down the memory hole as far as history in the United States is concerned, or even Israeli history. So in the mid-90s, we formed an organization to build a memorial at Deir Yassin, where today there's not even a signpost, not even a historical monument or marker. And we've been working ever since to commemorate that pivotal event, and ultimately working to build a memorial there in the shadow of the Holocaust Museum, the most famous Holocaust Museum. There are hundreds of them. And, of course, it's in an effort to recognize the history of both sides of the conflict.
Mm-hmm.
In the United States, we dwell on the Israeli side, the Jewish side of the war, what they call the War of Independence, or what the Arabs call the catastrophe, or the Nakba. But today in Israel, in the lands controlled by Israel, over half the population is not Jewish. Most Americans are completely unaware of that. They think of Israel as mostly Jews, with maybe 20% Arabs. But that's not correct. The correct figure is that over half the population within the borders controlled by Israel, so that includes Gaza and the West Bank and the Golan Heights, in that area controlled by Israel, over half the population isn't Jewish. And their history and their dialogue, their narrative, as we like to say in the academic world, is completely forgotten, particularly by Americans that have unwavering support for Israel. So if we're to gain peace in the area, the idea of a two-state solution and so forth is passé today. There'll
yes.
never be a two-state solution. But there should be, and as an American, I would say, there should be one state with equal rights of citizenship for all, and with equal recognition of the tragic history of both sides. That's the purpose, the raison d'etre of Deir Yassin Remembered.
Well, it seems to make a lot of sense to me, and we've observed on this show many times that, you know, if Israel would simply grant to the Palestinians that which it demands for itself, a recognition of their right to exist, we could have avoided the last 70 years of constant tension and bloodshed and war. But it does seem that Israel has an attitude of good for me, bad for you. And I think this is another example. Israel wants their history put on out there. They want everybody else's history to be erased. And it's a very selfish attitude, unfortunately.
Yes, it is. And of course, the Holocaust has been the sword and shield of Israel. The Holocaust is the ultimate tragedy, or certainly portrayed as the ultimate tragedy, mm-hmm. which Palestinians had no role in. They had nothing to do with the Holocaust. But they're paying for it because...
Yes.
People who were dispossessed from Europe have in large part moved to their land and taken over the water and changed the language and controlled the area. And those Palestinians that are still living in the West Bank and Gaza and in Israel itself have suffered greatly for it. Palestinians
okay, we're,
live in Israel.
We're going to have to take a break. Dan, I'm sorry to cut you off. We got to take a break for commercials. We're going to be 3 minutes of commercials. We'll come right back to you after these few words.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Dan McGowan, and he's giving us a little bit of history lesson about just how Israel came to be in possession of Palestine. So, Dan, why don't you just pick up where you left off?
Sure. I was describing our organization called Dear Yassin Remembered. I didn't tell the listeners that the organization is half Jews, half non-Jews, and half men and half women. It's not a right-wing or a left-wing organization. It's certainly not an academic organization, because most of the academia, particularly here in the Northeast, are overwhelmingly on the left side of the spectrum.
Yes.
And overwhelmingly pro-Israel, to the point of actually being confrontational when any Palestinian history or the Palestinian side of the argument is introduced. You know, I'm reminded of this attitude when I hear about the gassing in Syria a week ago, and how abhorrent it was for Americans that the Syrians would use gas or blamed for using gas or chemical weapons. At the same time, Israel used white phosphorus on the residents of Gaza only 8 years ago, And we had nothing to say about it. And white phosphorus is certainly a chemical weapon, as was Agent Orange and napalm that we used in Vietnam and never apologized for. So it's this type of hypocrisy, particularly from the liberal sector and from the academic sector, that is so annoying. And that we have felt as an organization supporting Palestinian human rights for the past 20 years.
Okay. Well, moving on here a little bit, there was our mutual friend who hooked us together mentioned something about a big stink about a billboard.
Yes. You know, when Donald Trump came to office, he came under the slogan of America First. And we at Deriacine Remembered made a billboard which said America First, not Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And we placed it with Lamar, which is one of the biggest billboard companies in the country. And it lasted 2 weeks. And in those 2 weeks, Lamar got so many complaints from the pro-Zionist people that they were forced to take the billboard down and refund their money. And then we went with Park, and they did the same thing. And we went with Adams, and they did the same mm-hmm. thing. So here's a very simple message. It's only four words. America first, not Israel. And we have not been able to get that billboard back up. And by the way, we were paying $8,000 a month for the billboard. And they returned the money. That was fine. But it shows the immense power that the lobby has in the United States mm-hmm. when you cannot get that kind of a message across in mainstream America. We've tried other billboards, and they, too, are largely rejected. The minute that the name Deriacine Remembered is associated with the billboard comes down. But, you know, it's the same as far as the USS Liberty is concerned. The USS Liberty was an American spy ship, and in 1967, it was attacked for over 2 hours by Israel. And 34 Americans were killed. 173 were wounded. It became subsequently the most heavily decorated ship in the United States Navy. But the story of the USS Liberty is largely hidden.
Yes.
The men that were aboard that ship were told not to say anything about it for fear of losing their pension rights and their status in the military, and for fear of prosecution. And I really think that that's an outrage.
I agree.
We build a memorial. There's a memorial in Rochester, New York, on the harbor, to the men aboard the USS Liberty, and it's on public property, and it shows an image of the ship, and it tells some of the decorations of the gallant men that were on board. But the word Israel cannot be on that memorial. The person that looks at the memorial does not know who the perpetrator was, does not know who fired for over 2 hours on a largely defenseless ship and torpedoed the ship.
Yeah, they did. We're going to have to take another break for commercials. This one's going to be 4 minutes long, and then we'll be back with a large chunk of time to continue the discussion. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no wage, can't draw no pay.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're talking with Dan McGowan, and we were talking about the USS Liberty. And actually, Dan, there is a plaque that was apparently sponsored by survivors of the USS Liberty attack, and I don't know exactly where it's located, but somebody sent me a picture of it, and it does mention that Israel was behind the attack on the Liberty. But, you know, the commanding officer, Captain McGonagall, got the Medal of Honor. It was the only Medal of Honor not awarded at the White House by the president. It was given to him in the Navy Yard. That's how hush-hush they wanted to keep this this thing. And the fact that our government, President Johnson, McNamara, were colluding with Israel to basically keep this under wraps at the expense of these servicemen. And Israel's obvious goal was to sink the entire ship, leave no survivors. That's why they machine-gunned the life rafts. And then I think they wanted to frame Egypt for the sinking to get the U.S. into the war against Egypt on Israel's side.
Well, that's true. And the plaque that you're speaking of is in Wisconsin.
Okay.
But the memorial that I was talking about was here in Rochester, New York. And in order to get that memorial on public property, they could not mention the name Israel. And we have a senator here in New York, Schumer, who is a media hound. He's on the news most every night. He did not and refused to attend the ceremony. This is a ceremony for 34 Americans, brave Americans, mm-hmm. that were murdered. He didn't have any trouble going to ceremonies for the USS Cole, where 17 Americans were murdered by Arab terrorists. But when it came to Jews and Israelis attacking Americans, not just at one moment, but over a two-hour period, Schumer couldn't come to that. And I think that that's outrageous, but it's indicative of the tremendous power that the lobby has in the United States. This is another
way too much power.
Of course,
way too much power.
Today we're talking a lot about BDS, which stands for Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions. Over half the states in the United States have enacted legislation to punish people who support BDS. Boycotting is as American as apple pie. I mean, what was the Boston Tea Party if it wasn't boycotting of English tea? Boycotting and urging sanctions is something that's very American. It's a very passive, non-aggressive type of protest. And that's punishable in New York State. If I support BDS, I can't work for the state of New York. And the same in Kansas, and the same in 25 of our states, those laws have been enacted largely silently. The most of the public doesn't even realize that. But it's indicative of the tremendous power that the lobby exerts, and people put Israel ahead of the United States exert in all of our states.
Well, boycotts are a recognized form of nonviolent protest, and as such, they're protected by the First Amendment. So I think somebody needs to pull together the resources to mount a challenge against all these state laws at the Supreme Court level. And I, for one,
yes,
am tired of living under foreign puppet rule, which is what this really amounts to. We have a Vichy government in Washington, D.C. They're ruling this country for the benefit of a foreign power. The people of Iraq didn't like that. The people of Afghanistan didn't like that. The people of Libya don't like that. The people of Yemen don't like that. Why should we be any more accepting here in the United States?
That's right. And when Obama was the president, we have Netanyahu coming over to the United States, being invited to the United States Congress, and getting, it's unbelievable, 29 standing ovations for speaking against our president and the Iran policy, which was not just ours, but which is a joint policy with Great Britain and France and Germany and so forth. And here we have a foreign leader coming to the United States, coming to our Congress, and getting that kind of standing ovations is really unbelievable.
Well, AIPAC had people in the overhead gallery with camcorders, and the members of Congress were told ahead of time, if you don't stand up every single time, you know, no more money from us for your next campaign. Much of the Israel lobby's power is its pocketbook. Much of that comes from the American taxpayer. What's really demonstrative of the lobby's power, there was a documentary made about the Israel lobby in Great Britain, and it got aired there, and it caused a huge upset and a stir. And then it turned out the same producers had done a documentary about the Israel lobby in the U.S. It has yet to be broadcast anywhere in this country. It's vanished almost like the documentary about the Franklin scandal.
That's true. And our organization was actually involved in some of the smearing of Jeremy Corbyn, who was the labor leader in Great Britain. He was smeared as being anti-Semitic because he attended some of our events. and our events included speeches by rabbis and other prominent Jews, Mark Ellis and several other prominent Jewish voices for peace. But Jeremy Corbyn was criticized and labeled and smeared as anti-Semitic for attending Der Yassin remembered ceremonies.
Well, I think Israel is on the verge of wearing that out. I mean, 10 years ago, if you were called an anti-Semite, you'd go into shock, you'd whip out your checkbook and throw money at them. Today, they've used it so much, it's almost like it's lost its shock value. And people say, oh, you're an anti-Semite. Well, if you say so, yeah, sure, no big deal. And I think that's probably a good thing, because they've gone to that well way too many times. The problem, of course, is that in certain areas of endeavor like the media, if you're labeled an anti-Semite, it does have negative consequences for your career.
It certainly does. In some ways, you're right. It has the definition of anti-Semitism has somewhat changed from someone who hates Jews to someone who Jews hate. And you are hated if you stand up for equal rights for Palestinians, and you are hated if you in any way criticize the Holocaust narrative, even though that's changed many, many times over history. You are hated if you talk about what they call the Holodomor, or the starvation, the mass starvation in the Ukraine and the Soviet Union in the 1930s, which was disproportionately represented by Jews, Jewish judges, Jews in the communist regime, the Bolsheviks, and so forth. If you mention that, then you are labeled and smeared as an anti-Semite. You will not get tenure. You'll most likely, there'll be some other excuse, but you will be thrown out of the academia, particularly here in the Northeast. But even in the Midwest, you know, almost every country that had anything to do with World War II has been shaken down as somehow guilty for the Holocaust. The United States is accused of not bombing the rail lines into Auschwitz, which is arguably we had no business bombing rail lines, and we would have killed a lot more people if we had. But we're blamed for that. We're blamed for not allowing people to disembark from the USS St. Louis. In every Holocaust museum across the country, you've got images of the St. Louis and the poor people that had to go back to Europe because they were not allowed to disembark in the United States. Germany, of course, is shaken down because of Hitler and the origins of World War II, but almost every other country. 10 years ago, it was the Swiss. The Swiss didn't return money that had been deposited in numbered bank accounts and so forth and so on. But today,
and now they're trying to shake down Poland.
Poland, of course, but they're shaking down the Mennonites. There was a conference that I attended 2 weeks ago in Bethel, at Bethel College, just north of Wichita, and it was the third in a series on Mennonites and the Holocaust. They're going to shake down the Mennonites and make them atone for, and this is incredible, to atone for a few Mennonites who joined the Wehrmacht. And a few Mennonites who even were in the SS. Of course, the whole history of the Mennonites being persecuted by the Bolsheviks, who were disproportionately led by Jews, that is ignored. You can't even mention that. But the suffering of the Mennonites at the end of World War II, from January of 1945. Through the beginning of 1946, the Mennonites suffered horribly, often at the hands of Jews in Poland and the Ukraine and on into Germany, what was Eastern Germany and then Western Germany. itself. That's ignored. That's totally ignored. But somebody found that there were a few Mennonites that in desperation joined the German forces, sometimes as ancillary people, sometimes as perhaps as soldiers. Some, at least one or two they found actually were in the SS. And so the whole Mennonite population is being shaken down, not so much for money, but to atone and to go to Israel and maybe to put up a memorial and maybe another Holocaust memorial or whatever. That's the bottom of the barrel. That's where we're coming to.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they'll probably go along with it.
Yeah, probably. And it is amazing the grip that Israel has on all of these politicians. We're going to go ahead and take a phone call from Kathleen in Paris. Kathleen, aloha. Welcome to the show. Do you have a question for Dan?
Yes, yes, I do. Thank you. I heard something about Jews being expelled from many different places with some regularity. So I've researched it a bit. And I have a list here of 109 locations where Jews have been expelled since the year 250 A.D., the first one being Carthage in 250 B.C. In fact, I'm going there in about a week to Carthage. But what is it, 100 or so years later, Jews were expelled from Alexandria. And then the next time was in the year 554. They're expelled from a region in France. And on and on and on and on and on with some regularity, 109 of them. And the last one was 1948 on this list. I guess that would be the last one, wouldn't it? 1948 from...
Well, Israel likes to... point to all those expulsions as a record of their suffering and persecution.
Yes.
Throughout history.
Yes.
But if you look at the circumstances of all those expulsions, pogroms, what have you, there's only one common factor in them all, and that is the inability of the Jewish population to integrate and assimilate with the local culture. And that does tend to create a great deal of hostility when you have one.
That was my question. Like, I mean, why? Why would they be expelled? And not that, I mean, I'm looking at it like they did something. That's no group just gets kicked out 109 times through history for being agreeable.
Well, that's basically it, and the culture, and I know this because my first wife was Ashkenazi, and she shared all this stuff with me. They are taught by their religion that they're entitled to all the wealth of the world, and that anything that they can do to get it is blessed. The Ten Commandments don't apply to non-Jews, and so they don't have to deal with that prohibition, thou shalt not steal, and so forth and so on. And after a while, that kind of predatory behavior will get on people's nerves. And I think another example of that, of course, would be the Roma or the Gypsies, who had much of the same attitude issues, but obviously were not as successful in terms of acquiring their own country other than Romania.
Now, they do also... have no compulsion about stealing. They're mostly pickpockets. But that, you know, what's the Fed? The pickpocket.
Well, the Gypsies have modernized and updated. I mean, they run parking lot topping scams. And I remember when we were living in Southern California, the media would warn us every time the Gypsies came to town to be on your guard. There would be all kinds of scams going on. Anyway, thank you for the phone call, Kathleen. We're going to let you go. We're coming up on a commercial break here, and I want to give Dan that final segment of the show. So very quickly, Janine in Florida, what did you want to add?
Yes, I just wanted to comment on his reference to the Mennonites being targeted. I don't know if he's aware that I think the real reason the Mennonites are being targeted is because so many different groups have joined Palestinian peace groups, such as something called Sabil. And the Mennonites often went into Israel proper in order to escort children so they would be safe from settlers in the West Bank as well as other areas. And they finally were stopped at the airport, held in detention, and then put on the first plane back. The Mennonites have been at the forefront of fighting to defend the Palestinians. And I think that's why they are being targeted.
That's true.
Janine, I got to let you go. We're going to take another three-minute commercial break, then back with the last segment of our program and Dan McGowan. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working 2 jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And before we turn the microphone back over to Dan McGowan, a couple of quick breaking stories. Former President George Herbert Walker Bush has been taken to the hospital, and Israel has launched a missile strike against the Syrian army near the occupied Golan Heights. So getting on back to Dan, what do you see as the future of you and your organization? Where do you go from here?
Well, I think the... I don't think that the that I will be successful in my lifetime, but the pendulum is turning, and it turns basically with Jews who recognize that to extol Jewish humanity and the ethical principles of Judaism, that is incompatible with the way the people who support Israel are behaving. We have set up an organization called RighteousJews.org. You know, the Jews started this business in Holocaust museums of listing righteous Gentiles. And by a righteous Gentile, they mean that some non-Jewish person who helped save Jews during World War II. So paralleling that, we started an organization called Righteous Jews. And in order to be considered a righteous Jew, you have to be Jewish, and you have to accept one state with equal rights of citizenship, equal rights for all people living within the borders controlled by Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And an increasing number of Jews are coming to that realization that the creation of the state of Israel as a ethnocentric preference for Jewish people is antithetical to the principles of humanity and to the basic principles of prophetic Judaism. So that I think there will be a change. It won't come from pressure by non-Jews, because most non-Jews are completely kowtowed to the current discourse and the current vernacular that calls them anti-Semites and slimes them with Holocaust denial or some other nonsense. The change will come within the Jewish community itself. And we are calling these people righteous Jews, but really they're not very righteous. They just simply believe in a basic American principle, namely equal citizenship, equality among everyone living in a particular area.
Well, I got to tell you, I applaud Natalie Portman for taking a stand against what is happening down on that Gaza border.
Yes, her main objection was to Netanyahu itself, and she made it very clear that she did not support the BDS movement, the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions movement, but she did say, I'm not going to Israel because Netanyahu is so outrageous, and I'm not sharing a stage with him. And I do admire her for that.
Yeah, I do too. That takes a lot of courage. Even a star as prominent as her can still get blacklisted in Hollywood. Anyway, Dan, we have run out of time. Thank you for spending time with us today. We're going to have you back in the future. And thank you again for spending time with us. That's it for our show, folks. Please stay tuned for John Stadmiller. I'm sure he's got a lot of stuff to share with you. And please take what you learn here, share it with everyone that you know. Don't go over social media. It's all being filtered and blocked. Just talk to people or send them email and just get the word out. Keep RBN alive. Tell five. We'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.